welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Testimony tonight, that in my life, I want you to be glorified. The songwriter said, you get the glory, you get the honor, and you get the praise. Come on, if that's your testimony tonight, can you just stand on your feet for those who are in the sanctuary? Can you just open up your mouth and give God some praise? With the fruit of your lips, can you give him some praise? Can you open up your mouth and give him glory on tonight? Hallelujah. You get the glory, Jesus. You get the glory, Jesus. You get the glory, Jesus. From my life, you get the glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From my life, you get the glory, Jesus. Anybody come to give him the glory on tonight? Listen, I don't know about you all, but it's been about 6 months since I've been in the house and stood behind this podium, and I feel good in here tonight, amen? So I say, like David said, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. And he didn't stop there, and he said, now that we're here, now that we're in Jerusalem, now that we're inside of the place that's created for worship, we're going to do what we came to do tonight, amen? Hallelujah. We came to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may have your seats. Amen. I honor God for this opportunity tonight to be in the house of the Lord. Listen, these days we can't take this for granted. Amen. The songwriter said, this might be my last time. I don't know. And just in case it's my last time, I want to make sure that I give my best. Just in case it's my last time, I want to give God all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, for truly he is worthy of the praise. Hallelujah. Does anybody know that God is worthy of the praise? Anybody who's watching tonight, do you know that God is worthy of the praise? From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, the God that we serve is worthy. Hallelujah. He is worthy of the praise. Amen. So we honor God tonight. We honor the presence of the Lord that is in this house tonight. Amen. Amen. We give honor to Deacon Nix tonight. Amen. God bless you. And to all of the deacons and trustees, and to Reverend Pyfrom, thank you so much for the invitation. I am so grateful to be here. It's a little different. Amen. It's a little different. Amen. But I believe the Lord has graced us for this on tonight. Amen. Listen, I came here last year and I enjoyed myself in the Lord. Amen. And I am so honored to be invited back, because you didn't have to bring me back. Amen. And I give honor to my sister and friend, Minister Furby, over here. Thank you so much for those anointed selections on tonight. Amen. I'm going to get in the way and I'm going to get out of the way. Now, those of you who know me, y'all know I'm a loud preacher. So if you would indulge me tonight and just talk back to me, it might make me move a little faster. Amen. 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 The Lord gave me this word, and, you know, it's a little different. It's a little bit different than what I thought he was going to give me tonight. But I believe that he had a purpose for this word. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Exodus chapter 1. And while you are turning, I just want to acknowledge my pastor and bishop, Dr. Maury L. Davis, amen, the presiding prelate of the Open Door Mission True Light Church and the Gates of Heaven Assembly of Churches. I'm so grateful that she allowed me to come. My mother is with me tonight, so I honor her, amen. That's my sidekick, my road dog, however you want to call it. Listen, that's my twin. I love her to life, and I'm so grateful that she's here with me on tonight. Amen. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 1, and I'm going to be reading out of the NIV version. If you can, stand for the reading of the word. We're going to read verses 1 through 12a. 1 through 12a, and it reads as follows. These are the names of the sons of Israel who went to Egypt with Jacob, each with his family: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah; Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin; Dan and Naphtali; Gad and Asher. The descendants of Jacob numbered 70 in all. Joseph was already in Egypt. Verse 6. Now Joseph and all of his brothers and all that generation died, but the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly, increased in numbers, and became so numerous that the land was filled with them. Then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. Verse 11, so they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh. Verse 12, and this is where we'll take our text. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. Again, but the more the Israelites were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. My subject for tonight: enlarged in a hard place. Enlarged in a hard place. And if I was to use a subtitle, it would simply be, God wants to give you uncontrollable growth in an unpredictable season. He wants to give you uncontrollable growth in an unpredictable season. People of God, we have reached the 9th month of the year that has marked the turn of the decade. This is the year of 2020 vision and seeing clearly, as many of us decreed on December 31st, 2019. It is a year that's supposed to be full of blessings as declared by the people of God. Does anybody remember, as we were preparing to come into this year, we began to declare that this is the year of 2020 vision. I can see clearly now. This is the year of the turnaround. This is the year where God is going to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Instead of looking back and celebrating all that this year has brought, many of us have been laser focused on this year being over as soon as it possibly can be. From a global and deadly pandemic, to Breonna Taylor's killer still being on the loose, to a crashing stock market, a delayed federal mail system, an upside down political system, to the deaths of giants like Kobe Bryant and John Lewis and Chadwick Boseman, RBG, and the late great Bishop J. Delano Ellis, just to name a few. Oh, and did I mention that Breonna Taylor's killers are still on the loose? If I could be transparent with you all, I've asked God more questions this year than I think I ever have in my entire life. I have asked God more questions in 2020, and we only in September, than I have ever asked in my entire life, because 2020 literally came in like a wrecking ball, demolishing everything in its way. This year has challenged relationships. It has shed light on the inconsistencies of people that are in our circles. It has snatched away people that we love and hold dearly. And it has challenged our faith in ways that we could not have ever imagined. It's hard to reconcile that the hope that we all had just 9 months ago, it's hard to reconcile that hope with the unprecedented realities that we have faced this year. And if you are anything like me, you've had some pretty candid conversations with God on this year. I found myself asking God, I said, Lord, I need to know what is going on. I said, God, I need to know, is this your will? Is this warfare, or is the world literally coming to an end? Has anybody else asked God some questions on this year? I said, there's pressure on every side. There's struggle in front of me. There's loss. There's sickness. And this is all too much. And as I began to ask God, why are we experiencing so much pain in such a compounded way? I'm telling you, on this year, I started feeling like Job, right? When the enemy touched Job's family, before he could mourn one thing, something else was happening. And before he could get over that, something else was happening. And so I'm like, God, why are we going through so much pain in such a compounded way? But God reminded me of why he allows troubles and trials to come to our lives in the first place. He took me over to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And he said, daughter, fret not yourself, but count it all joy. He said, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. He said, and when you let perseverance finish its work, you're going to be mature and you're going to be complete. There's going to be nothing lacking, nothing missing, and nothing broken. He says, tests come to produce something in your life. In other words, God was saying that sometimes I have to take you through some things in order to grow you up. Sometimes I have to allow a little pressure to come your way in order to mature you, in order to draw you closer to me, because you've been living too low. Some of us have found ourselves living in the comfortable place. Some of us have gotten settled on a level that God has tried to shake us from a long time ago. He says, sometimes you got to be put into the furnace of affliction so that I can pull another level out of you. Sometimes I got to burn the pettiness out of you. Sometimes I got to let you go through the fire so I can take the complaint off your lips. Sometimes I got to let you go through hardships so I can teach you how to praise me even when you don't feel like it. I can teach you how to worship even when it ain't working. Sometimes I gotta take you to a hard place so that I can get the stubbornness out of you, so that I can get the bitterness out of you. I gotta shake you in a hard place so that I can get the unforgiveness out of you. Sometimes I gotta take you to a hard place so I can snatch you out of your comfort zone. And to be honest, during this candid conversation, I said, well, God, I don't like that. Can I be honest? I said, God, I don't like, yes, I'm a preacher, but God, I don't like it. Yes, I got degrees, but God, I don't like it. And you know what God said back to me? He said, well, daughter, it's not about you. He said, it's not about you. He says, so sometimes we forget when we are going through our own circumstances, when we are going through our own trials, when we are going through the vicissitudes of life, sometimes we forget that it's not about us, that we are a part of something that is bigger than us, that we are a part of the body of Christ, that we are a part of a kingdom that has waged war against the kingdom of darkness. We are a part of a kingdom that has waged war against the kingdom of darkness. And we have to know that as time is winding up, the devil is going to intensify the battle. As time is winding up, the devil is going to pull out all stops to get you to throw in the towel as time is winding up. So God began to show me that I am living in a dichotomy, that all of us are living in a dichotomy. He says, you are in this world, but you're not of this world. You're a spiritual being having a natural experience. So while I am trying to grow you up, the enemy is trying to take you out. Is it possible that there could be two different things going on here in the midst of our struggle? He says, while I'm trying to grow you up, the enemy's trying to take you out. Why? Because the Bible tells us in John 10 and 10 that the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and destroy. I don't know why the saints are walking around acting like the devil likes us. We've gotten too comfortable walking around acting like there's not a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I don't know why we're walking around acting like we're friends, cut buddies with the devil. when he comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. And what the Lord said to me is that when you go through seasons like you go, like you're going through now, is that although I'm trying to grow you up, what happens is a lot of believers end up enslaved in those seasons. When you go through hardships, when you experience sudden loss, when you experience sudden pain, then you get angry with God. Then you get bitter. Then you're frustrated. Then you start to cry out like David in Psalms that said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When he promised in his word that he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. When we go through seasons like what we're going through in 2020, the enemy comes to play with our minds. I don't know about you, but I've had to talk to myself on this year. I've had to have some conversations in the bathroom mirror on this year. I've had to get up in the morning and say, girl, wipe your tears and keep on going on this year. But the enemy comes to mess with your mind when God is trying to push you to another level. And so what he begins to do is he begins to entangle you into mental bondage, having you questioning God about what's going on in your life. He begins to blind you so you can't see past where you are right now to what God is trying to do in your life. He begins to mess with your finances so that you can have the testimony that if it ain't one thing, it's another. If it ain't this, it's that. Next thing you know, you're in financial bondage. And then he'll allow people who you love to walk out of your life so that you can be mad, so that you can be angry. And next thing you know, you're in emotional bondage, allowing people to take up space in your heart and take up space in your emotions without even paying rent there. When we find ourselves in seasons like this, too many believers become entangled. Too many believers find ourselves in a place of bondage. And we see this happens in our text. When you look at our text in Exodus chapter 1, you have the people of Israel in Egypt. Now let me help you understand, because I know a lot of times people are under the misconception that Israel ends up in Egypt in bondage because of sin. That's not true. They end up in the wilderness for 40 years because of sin. But they don't end up in Egypt in bondage because of sin. They end up in Egypt in bondage because they got comfortable. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, as it's closing out, Genesis chapter 50, that Joseph had gained favor with the Pharaoh. Y'all remember that Joseph was positioned in Egypt, in Canaan, so that in the time of famine, he was able to be a resource for his family. Y'all remember that? 7 years of famine. What happened is, during the time of famine, his family came. Joseph was a resource, but the problem is they never left. They got comfortable in that place. And the Bible says now in Exodus chapter 1 that some time had passed, that they had gotten comfortable in a place of favor. They had gotten settled in their blessing. But how many of you know that when you get too settled in a blessing, what's meant to be a blessing might one day turn into a burden? What's meant to be a blessing might one day turn into a burden. God gave you that job. He sent you there for a season. But because you ignore the voice of the Lord when he tells you to get up and go, that job that was once a blessing is now a burden. So they find themselves in this place, and it says that there arose a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph, didn't care anything about Joseph. And while they were there, even in Egypt, they began to grow. It says all of his brothers, they all passed on, but the generations continued to multiply. They continued to multiply. And as they continue to multiply, the Pharaoh now began to say, we got to do something about this. They are growing too fast. They're growing too much. We got to do something about this. Their growth is uncontrollable. He says, we got to deal harshly with them. We've got to enslave them. We've got to put them in bondage. We've got to put them under our feet. And so that's what they did. He said, they began to work them hard. They began to make them work with their hands. They began to treat them like slaves. But the Bible tells us in verse 12, part A, is that the more that they were oppressed, the more that the enemy whipped their backs, the more that they went through this season of bondage, that they continued to grow and multiply. He says that they continued to grow and multiply. And God had to take me to this text to explain to me what was going on in this season. He said, Precious, you guys are living in a season that feels like oppression. You're living in a season where it feels like no matter what you do, you can't get up from under the pressure. You're living in a season where you go to the right, there's hardship. When you go to the left, there's struggle. When you look ahead of you, there's oppression all around. He says, but I want you to know that the oppression isn't coming to kill you. He says, but the oppression is coming to put some weight on your life. The oppression is coming to stretch you. We've got to understand, people of God, when we go through seasons of hardship, that God's purpose is always going to be bigger than the purpose of the enemy. Then we got to stop allowing the enemy to capitalize off of our hard seasons. We got to stop allowing the enemy to exploit us when we go through hard times. The Bible never promised that we would live on flowery beds of ease. He never promised that it was going to be rainbows and sunshine all the time. But he said, if you endure hardship like a good soldier, he says, if you go through the struggle, that after this, there's a glory that's going to be revealed in your life that doesn't even compare to the struggle. God said, I bought oppression in your life so that I can add some weight to your life. And what he said to me is that the problem with the church today is too many of us don't want to go through nothing. We've gotten too comfortable. We keep saying to God, let that cup pass. We forget to say, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Our prayer is, God, if this cup can pass from my life, let it pass. But we forgot to say, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. We've got to say, like Job, when we are in a difficult season, that I might not know what's going on. I might not be able to hear God. I might not be able to feel God. He said, I went to the east. I went to the north. I went to the south. I went to the west. I couldn't find him. I couldn't perceive him. He said, but he knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. I shall come forth with a greater value on my life. I shall come forth with more weight on my life. God brings us to seasons like this, and most of us go through them kicking and screaming. He says, you don't even know that this is one of those all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Tears running down my eyes, but all things is working together. Heartache in my heart, but all things are working together for the good to them that love the Lord. And so there's a couple of things that I want to leave with you, and then we're going to keep it moving. The Lord said to me that this is one of the things we got to understand about seasons like this one. And this is a statement that we often say at my job. We often say that systems are designed to produce the outcomes that they produce. Y'all follow me? That systems are designed to produce the outcomes that they produce. And the Lord said to me, well, likewise, precious, so are seasons. Seasons are designed to produce the outcomes that they produce. In other words, let me put it like this. How could you ever know that God was a healer unless he took you through a season of sickness? It is designed to produce the outcome that it produced. How could you ever know that he was a way maker? How could you ever know that he was Jehovah Jireh, that he could do exceedingly and abundantly unless you've ever been through a season of lack? Seasons are designed to produce the outcomes that they produce. Seasons are designed to show you that God is who he say he is and that he will do what he said he can do. So one of the things that we've got to understand as the believers, as we are asking God why, and as we are asking God how long, that there is something that God wants this season to produce in your life. So the next thing we got to understand that in order for us to be successful in this season is that we've got to adjust our lens while we are going through. We've got to change our perspective. We got to move from a woe is me. We got to move from a why me to a why not me. We've got to say like David in Psalms 119 and 71. He said, it was good that I was afflicted, that I might know your word. It was good that I had to go through the fiery furnace of affliction. Too many of us are crying. Too many of us are saying, God, let it pass. But in this season, you've got to shift your perspective. In this season, you've got to shift your testimony and say, it didn't feel good, but God, it was good. It was good because I learned you in a way that I never knew you. It was good because it pushed me to the foot of the cross. It was good because I learned your decrees. We've got to be able to declare like Joseph after he went through the pit, after he was put in the prison, after he was accused at Potiphar's house, after he was put in the palace, and his brothers came to him, and he thought that he was going to kill them. And he said in Genesis, you meant it for good, for evil, but God meant it for good. Even though I'm in this hard place, I'm in this hard situation, the enemy might mean it for evil, but God, he meant it for my good. He meant it so that he can grow me up. He meant it to mature me. He meant it to break me so he can make me. God, I'll go through whatever I got to go through, for it shall be for my good. It's going to be for your good. So we must understand that seasons are designed to produce the outcomes they produce. We've got to understand that if we are going to be enlarged in this season, that we've got to learn how to adjust our lens and adjust our perspective. The other thing that we've got to learn how to do is we've got to learn how to yield to the process of this season without becoming enslaved to it. We've got to learn how to yield to what God is doing in our lives without becoming enslaved by it. Sometimes God has to break us to build us back up. When I think about the state of the church pre-COVID, when I think about the state of the church pre-2020, the church was in a wreck. The church was a mess. The church wasn't living all that God was calling us to live. We wasn't being the ambassadors that God called us to be. So sometimes he's got to put you in a season like this so that he can break you, so that he can build you back up, so that we can look more like him, so that we can talk more like him. But while you're in that season of brokenness, you've got to be careful not to take on things that will weigh you down. You've got to be careful not to take on bad habits of gossip. You've got to be careful not to take on habits of complaining. You've got to be careful not to take on habits of secularism. You've got to be careful not to take on sin. For the Bible says that even when you are going through a hard place, even when you're going through a season where everything is turned upside down, you've got to be committed in your heart to stand there for in the liberty wherewith Christ has called you, wherewith he has made you free. You've got to make up in your mind that I don't care who quits, I don't care who walks away, through. I'll refuse to become a slave to the tactics of the enemy in this season. I refuse to become a slave to worry. I refuse to become a slave to anxiety. I refuse to become a slave to financial bondage. I refuse. We got to make up in our minds that just because you're going through, it does not excuse you to walk away from God and what he's called you to do. It does not give you a license. It does not give you a pardon to go back to the things of the world. He says, be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. The next thing that we've got to understand is that as we yield to the process of this season and we make up in our minds that we will not be enslaved by what we are going through, the next thing you've got to do is you've got to produce. What is this season designed to produce in your life? Listen, people of God, we are not going through this for naught. This is the season where God is calling the church forth. This is the season where God is saying, come out from among them and be ye separate. This is the season where we've got to say to God, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. You can use my hands. You can use my mouth. You can use my feet. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that the whole earth is shaking. It's rumbling. It's grumbling in earnest expectation of the sons of God. What are you producing in this season? What are you producing in this season? What are you allowing God to make in you in this season? And then I'm not just talking about producing in terms of materialism. I'm not just talking about that book and that business, but I'm talking about what are you allowing God to do in your spirit in this season? How are you allowing him to grow you up in this season? God wants to enlarge us in the hard place, and I'm almost done. God wants to enlarge the body of Christ even in a hard place. And the reason that he enlarges us is so that we can rule. It's so that we can dominate. It's so that we can take territory for the kingdom of God. It's so that we can overcome the enemy. If you know anything about the children of Israel's story, they might have started with 70, but they came out with over 1 million. They continue to grow. They continue to explode. They continue to mature so that after a while, they were able to overcome the enemy. That's why God has us going through what we're going through in this season, because he saw that pre-2020, the church was looking a little weak. We were looking a little feeble. The church looked like it needed some help. So he said, I'm going to take you down so I can bring you up. I'm going to take you down so I can give you more strength, so I can give you more power, so I can enlarge you to overcome the enemy. I can enlarge you to overcome the enemy. He says in Luke chapter 10 and 19, behold, I give you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. He says, and nothing shall hurt you. No weapon that is formed against you shall be able to prosper. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. People of God, we've got to rise up and we've got to be the church. We've got to stop looking like the world and sounding like the world and acting like the world. We got to rise up in this hour and be the church. On your job, God is enlarging you so you can be the church. In your community, God is enlarging you so that you can be the church. And he says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, and after you have suffered a little while, he says, after you've suffered a little while, the God of all glory, he says, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, he says, he himself will restore you. He picks it up in Joel chapter 2. He says, and I will restore unto you the years. 2020 isn't a wash. All hasn't been lost. He says, I'm going to restore unto you the years that the locust worm, the palmer worm, the slow-eating worm has taken away from you. I'm going to give it all back. He says, and when I give it all back, I always give you more than what you started with. I'm going to restore unto you the years. He says, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to make you strong. I'm going to make you firm. I'm going to make you steadfast. God wants to establish the body of Christ in this hour. We've been bending back and forth, tossed to and fro with every wind and doctrine. You want to talk about revival? God is calling us back. He says, wake up, church. Wake up, church. Because what you understand about a test is that when you don't pass a test, you got to take it again. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to take this one again. Wake up, church. I came to encourage you tonight to let you know that this wasn't a word about struggle. It wasn't a word just about what we're going through, but it's a word about strength. God has given us the strength to overcome the enemy. And what we got to understand in 2020, as he prepares us for 2021, that it takes a mature church to overcome the enemy. It takes a praying church to overcome the enemy. It takes people who act like they could spend more than 5 minutes or 10 minutes in prayer. We still got people who've been in church for 10 and 20 and 30 years who can't spend more than 10 minutes in the presence of God. He says, but I got to shake you. I got to break you. I got to build you. Because in this hour, it's going to take people who know how to get down on your knees, how to get a prayer through. In this hour, it's going to take people who don't mind crying out, Father, I stretch my hands to you. No other help I know. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. Danger on every side, but I lift up my eyes. The devil is acting crazy in my house, but I lift up my eyes. The devil is acting crazy on my job, but I lift up my eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. My help, my help, my help comes from the Lord. He needs a church that knows how to run into his presence and say, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous, they run and they are safe. When my enemies and even my foes came upon me, I didn't go running. I didn't go hiding, but they stumbled and they fell. I will lift up my eyes to the Lord. People who will say, this poor man cried out to the Lord and he delivered me from all of my trouble. So as I get ready to close, I encourage you, God is enlarging you in this hard place. He said, I want to give you uncontrollable growth in an unpredictable season. And that seems oxymoronic, because when you think about it from the business world, or you think about it from the stock market, what they do is they call it a volatile stock market when it's unpredictable. Because they like to be able to predict what's going to happen. They like to be able to know what the trends are predicting is going to happen. But how many of you know that even when we don't know, the Bible says that the steps of a good man have been ordered by the Lord. So even when I can't look down the line of time and I don't know what's going to happen, I don't know what's going to happen in November, I don't know what's going to happen in December, I say like Job, but he knows the way that I take. He's already been there. He says, I know your end from your beginning. season is over, my prayer for you is that you have produced something in this season that after the test, the examination will come back that you passed. That you'll be able to testify that my worship life is growing, that my prayer life is going deeper, that my intercession is going deeper, that I'm learning how to wage war against the enemy. How many of you know that God wants to grow you up in this season? Some of you have been sitting home all year long and haven't prayed for more than 20 minutes. Sitting home all year long and having sought the face of God. And we're wondering why the season is being extended. Because God has given us grace in this season. He's extending mercy in this season. But time is winding up. Time is winding up. And he sent me tonight as a herald to say, get yourself together so that he can enlarge you in this season. Because I believe that as we move out of this season, that we're going to see the greatest revival that we've ever seen in the earth. And God wants to be able to use you as a part of that revival. He wants to be able to anoint you to be the chain breaker in your family. He wants to be able to use you to be the bloodline breaker in your family. You ain't got to call the pastor and ask the pastor to lay hands. You ain't got to call the deacon and ask the deacon to intercede. He says, I'm calling you in this season. God wants to enlarge us in a hard place. I encourage you tonight to shift your perspective. It's been hard, y'all. We've had to cry. But don't allow that hard place to enslave you in this season. For the spirit of heaviness, you've got to learn how to put on the garment of praise. There's been days that I woke up with heaviness on my heart, losing people that I know, have known all of my life in a moment. They've been gone. And when I get up and I go into my bathroom, I make the declaration, but this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Even with a broken heart, I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continue to be in my mouth. I refuse to fail the test. Amen. I want to pray for you tonight. I want to pray for you tonight. Maybe you've been going through this year and you've been asking God some of the same questions I've been asking. I'm just being honest with you all. I would be a liar if I stood here tonight and said that everything has been good on this year, that everything has been great on this year, even for the body of Christ. But instead of sitting in a seat of depression, instead of allowing the oppression to overtake me, I decide that I'm going to press into the purpose of God. Why are we going through this season? What are you trying to do? Enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory. Enlarge my prayer life, oh God. Enlarge my worship life, oh God. Enlarge me, oh God. In the hard place where nothing is supposed to be growing, enlarge me, oh God. And that's my prayer for you today. That after this season is over, you'll be able to look back and you'll be able to see how far the Lord has brought you from. You'll be able to see that the things that you used to struggle with, you don't struggle with anymore. The problems that you used to have, you don't have anymore because the Lord has taken them. You've given them over in this season. The fear that you used to have doesn't have a hold on you anymore because you've pressed into God in this season. And I just want to encourage those who may be watching tonight. Maybe you're sitting home and you're saying, I've felt overwhelmed in this season. I've felt the pressure and I've been ready to give up. I even said to myself that I'm not going back to church after this is over. Maybe the enemy has been speaking to your mind, but I came to encourage you to be not weary in well-doing. For in due season, You're going to reap if you faint not. Don't be weary. Continue to delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, even in a hard place, that God wants to enlarge you in this season. He says, there's another yes that I'm requiring of you. There's another dimension that I'm trying to take you to in this season. Father, we love you. We honor you. We thank you, Lord, for this time of revival. We thank you because during revival, oh God, you cause us to reflect. You cause us to reflect on our spiritual walk. You cause us to reflect on who we are as the body of Christ. And Lord, we feel like Israel in this season, where the enemy has closed in on us. There's been pressure. There's been adversaries. There's been heartache. There's been pain all around us. But God, we thank you that even in the midst of that, you're allowing us to grow. You're allowing us to mature. You're not allowing us to die in this season. So, Father, I pray that you would revive us again, oh God. God, as we go through the end of this year, as we are in the last quarter of this year, we pray that you would breathe on us, oh God. Give us a fresh wind, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Give us to push through, oh God. God, we don't know what's going to happen during this election. We don't know what we're going to face, but we thank you because we serve the God who holds tomorrow. You're already there and you're in control. God, help us to trust you more in this season. Help us to lean and to depend on you. Help us to check ourselves, oh God, if we've been idle in this season, if we've been too low in this season, if we've been complacent in this season. Help us to check ourselves, oh God, so that we can be who you're calling us to be as the body of Christ in this hour. Lord, as the songwriter said, we want our lives to give you glory. So I pray that you would continue to work on us. I pray that you would continue to work in us. God, we give you another yes in this season. Even when we don't understand everything that's going on, we say yes to your will. We say yes to your way, oh God. Do what you want to do in us, and you get the glory. We give you the honor and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, clap your hands. Somebody say, God is enlarging me in my hard place. Come on, one more time. Say, God, he's enlarging me in my hard place. Amen. God bless you.
Enlarge my territory.